Welcome to NBA Podcaster, the only broadcast source for cutting-edge information and advice on the NBA application process. I'm Janet Nakano. Elected as class president or led an expedition for charity. That's how some young MBA candidates are successfully showing leadership potential to business schools. Top programs are reaching out to applicants with little work experience, and those accepted have showed they're ready to take on the MBA. If you're younger than the average business school student but still want to get an MBA now, you may have just what it takes. This time, we'll find out what you can do to compensate for a lack of work experience, what the admissions committee will be looking for in young candidates, and what it's actually like to be younger than your peers in business school. We'll talk to the director of admissions at a top MBA program, an admissions consultant, and a young MBA student. Top schools like Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton have been getting the word out that they want younger applicants, even those who are recent college graduates or college juniors and seniors. Paul Bodine is senior editor at Accepted.com and author of Great Application Essays for Business School. He also writes a blog called The Admissions Insider. Bodine says while schools are showing interest in young candidates, not too many schools are admitting them.
I think what it means is that, you know, they have a genuine interest in dispelling the myth that you have to have a certain number of years to be qualified for business school, because they're losing potentially strong applicants because people think that. So they're trying to break down that barrier and create more diverse classes. But still, you know, you have to be able to pass a certain bar of or level of quality. And that's, you know, just frankly tougher for younger applicants to do. So I think the translation of that open door policy toward young people into actual numbers at many schools is still actually not happening.
According to the Admissions Insider, Bodine writes that business schools aren't embracing young applicants in significantly large numbers. Students at Business Week's top 30 schools that had a year or less of work experience made up, on average, only 4% of this year's incoming class. Bodine writes that 12 top programs admitted none, and Stanford, a school that's known for reaching out to younger candidates, reported only 3%. But at the Tepper School of Business at Carnegie Mellon University, young MBAs make up a tenth of the class. On top of admitting those with little work experience, Tepper has a five-year program that accepts students directly from undergrad. They spend 3 years to complete a bachelor's degree, then another two for an MBA. Lori Stewart is Tepper's executive director of MBA admissions.
Over our history, we have had students join our program early in their professional life, and we've had a number of students that have done quite well. And we have identified through our admissions process some exceptional candidates that really present a compelling application for admission, even without not as much professional experience. They have very clear goals, and they've thought through the professional path that they want to follow, and they're academically very strong. And we can see that they would fit into the MBA learning environment in terms of a learner and as a contributor. And so we really want to have those exceptional candidates in the class.
Stewart says Tepper believes in having a diverse student population, and level of experience, she says, is a dimension of diversity. However, less experience will mean that you must have other extraordinary qualities, says Paul Bodine.
I think in some sense, you know, if you are one of those applicants who does have a chance, because you basically are going to be sort of already demonstrating in your college and early career, if you started your career, that you are sort of a fast-track person. And that's, I think, is the key, is that, you know, schools are not going to be comparing you to people with 5 or 6 years of experience. They're going to, you know, because you just won't have that kind of resume. But they will want to be seeing that there's something atypical about your potential, and that can be demonstrated in a number of different ways. I mean, I think at a minimum, you've got to be meeting the school's numbers in terms of, like, average GPA and average GMAT, and you want to be exceeding it, or at least exceeding your peers in terms of you know, like leadership and impact, and again, that can be impact in, you know, in classes, in community, in extracurriculars. So I think you have to be fairly confident that you are sort of an achiever, you know, frankly, that you are an unusual applicant.
Because the main issue for young candidates is lack of professional experience, Lori Stewart says the other components of the application should be emphasized.
As one example, if someone has less experience, then their academic profile really needs to be strong. Their essays need to really make sense for why they're interested in an MBA degree. And I think a candidate, if they have the opportunity for an interview, has to also really present themselves in a way that shows that they can sell themselves and it's obvious they're going to contribute and participate in the learning environment.
Presenting a strong case in your application means you'll have to have very clear goals. Bodin says this could be one challenge for young applicants.
You won't have had the work experience that helps you decide what your goals are and why you need the MBA. I mean, a lot of people use the MBA to make a career change because they've discovered in the career track they chose in college, it wasn't for them. So if you're applying right out of college, you haven't had that work experience that's helped you decide that that's not what you want to do and figure out what you really want to do. So maybe they're going into the MBA not really knowing why they want that MBA. Maybe their goal choice is not as, you know, tested yet.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
Leadership potential is a crucial quality for young applicants, and it can be a bit more challenging to show when you haven't had a lot of experiences. But it can be done, says Lori Stewart.
There are other ways that students with less experience can show leadership. One obvious place is in their involvement on the campus or within the community. And we see great examples of the aptitude for leadership and the impact that less experienced candidates are making. And that's a really good indicator for those kind of skills over the long term.
Joining clubs or community organizations can be a good place to find experiences, but Paul Bodin says make sure you do more than just be involved.
There has to be some sort of sense that you are demonstrating unusual leadership. And by that I mean, you know, you're not just, for example, involved heavily in extracurriculars, but you are in leadership roles. You know, you're the class president, or you're the editor-in-chief of the school newspaper, or, you know, maybe you started a business, you know, of your own during the summer, you know, painting houses or an IT consulting or something. I mean, those would be indications that you are not a typical applicant, that you're getting out of the gate fast, as it were. And there are other, you know, less dramatic ways of demonstrating that atypicalness. And, you know, one could be, for example, during a summer internship, you were given responsibilities kind of above your pay grade, as it were, and you can talk about those. But I think leadership is really the key word there. And you can't just say you are an officer in a club or something like that. You've also got to sort of show that leadership translated into impact. So you've got to have some stories showing how you change things. But you've got to have that kind of material there, I think, to have a chance.
Bwana Ali was just 23 years old when he was accepted to Stanford Business School. He grew up in Tanzania in East Africa and got much of his education in the UK. Ali found a unique way to demonstrate leadership.
One of the things that I did do was led an expedition in Tanzania with 24 employees from my company. It was a fundraising expedition, raised money for charity for a science lab in Tanzania.
Ali's atypical background on top of his leadership experience is just the kind of thing schools like to see. Bodine says admissions committees want to know you'll add diversity to the class.
By that I mean that you have sort of an unusual set of themes or attributes that they might, you know, remember and want to bring you into the class. And you can do that, you know, through international experiences. So maybe you don't start your career right out of school. You take a year off and you live in Tibet or something, and if you got something out of that experience, that can help you set you apart. And, you know, even like a volunteer experience, Peace Corps for a year or something like that, it's going to help you stand out. It may give you opportunities to get leadership, and then maybe you start your career a year out of college. Those kinds of things can help you overcome the problem of showing leadership and the problem of trying to stand out.
Life on campus as a young MBA can pose a few challenges. Ali, who's now a second-year student, says he didn't always fit in with his classmates.
One of the things I immediately noticed, which I think is kind of partly my fault for revealing that I was, you know, 23 or 24 at the time, was that in conversation, sometimes you get discounted a little bit because you feel that you're not really in the loop. And so I noticed that I was getting cut out a lot, and I think people were connecting more with their, you know, peers and as far as their age. So I found that really frustrating on that end. And also, in the classroom, it's not so much you get discounted, but your lack of experience does show up when you're trying to make comments in class sometimes, and professors may not call on you, especially if you make a mistake or if you say a really terrible comment in the beginning. So I noticed that it's really important to obviously back up anything you have to say with your experiences. And if you lack experience, then it's really tough. But generally, I find it a little bit frustrating, personally, especially, outside the classroom.
Did you know that this might be an issue before you had applied?
Not necessarily. I thought that my sort of all-round experience in this rotational program at where I worked would be enough. But in the end, I realized how narrow it was, as far as there's only one company in one industry. Whilst MBAs who are a little bit older have typically worked maybe in two different companies, sometimes two different industries, or even worked in a startup as well. I think I had enough different functional experience. So I had I'd seen the different areas of management, but I hadn't really experienced anything outside my own industry, which was aerospace technology.
Do you face any other challenges in school being young?
I think sometimes in recruiting situations, I find that if I had more experience, I would have probably had more chance of getting certain jobs. So being a young MBA can actually hinder you as far as recruiting opportunities. So, for instance, I couldn't pretty much do anything to do with venture capital or private equity, which, at least at Stanford, it seems to be very popular career choices at the moment. But because I lacked experience, I feel that I can't really go for those positions.
And is that what you want to do?
Not necessarily. I actually realized that it's actually not where I want to do it right now, but something I'd like to do later. So it's kind of humbling to know that I'd need more experience before I'd even think about going there. But you kind of feel a little bit left out as far as your opportunity set. So I really thought coming to business school, I'd be open to every single career possible. But of course, you realize that some doors are closed just for certain reasons. And obviously, age is one of them, experience. So it's not a bad thing. It's just that I originally thought that I'd be able to apply to absolutely everything. Of course, management consulting and investment banking, they don't mind if you're young or not. In fact, they almost like it that you're young because they get more out of you.
Ali's experience in the job search may be common among young MBA students. Lori Stewart says part of the problem could be that not all recruiters are sure where young MBAs fit in.
I know that our career services staff really likes to begin working with the less experienced students early on to focus on the internship and developing a strategy for that permanent position after the degree. I think in some cases, our career services director has told me that there are companies that really love these candidates but bring them into a slightly different position with an opportunity to grow a little bit later.
Salaries of young MBA graduates can tend to be lower than graduates with more experience. But Bodine says that's not the case for all.
You know, the University of Rochester has a program called its Early Leaders Program, which is comprised of 18 to 20% younger students. And it's a new program, but they said that their class, their recent class of early leaders, was actually outperforming previous classes in terms of placement and job offers, and that the salaries were competitive. I mean, that's only one indication. I mean, as a general rule, you know, most people use that MBA to go into investment banking or consulting, and those are careers where, you know, you have to put in the 80-hour work week. So those employers are looking for people who have the energy and freedom to commit to that kind of work. And those are generally younger people. So I think, particularly if you're coming out of a strong MBA program, you know, the recruiters will kind of consider that the school has sort of done a selection process on these younger MBAs and that they've sort of passed the test and that they're ready. I think the employers are probably figure that if you've got a, you know, Wharton MBA, a Harvard MBA, you know, you're fine, and that the age is not going to be an issue. So, you know, they're not going to get maybe the managerial roles. They're going to be put maybe in analyst positions if they don't have any prior managerial experience before the MBA, you know, they're probably not going to be given a line position managing people right out of school. So that could affect the salary.
Paul Bodine says, but in the long run, young MBA graduates can end up making more money. And he says there are other benefits too.
You know, for younger people who aren't married or don't have children, that's sort of one less distraction, as it were. So they give the MBA maybe a little bit more energy. I think for women who are contemplating, you know, possibly starting a family down the road, they can get the MBA out of the way. And I think also, you know, if you're sort of a fast-track person who's thinking about an MBA early on, you're going to have to get used to being the young person in the corporation. And, you know, one way of getting used to that is business school, where you're going to be the young person in your class. So it's kind of good preparation for what they're going to find in the workforce.
If you're still an undergrad and want to get that MBA soon after you graduate, Bodine says here are some tips to prepare.
One thing that they probably will not have much control over is, you know, the opportunities for leadership and impact at work, you know, right out of college. That's going to be probably the one area where they can do the least, frankly. So I think they need to be showing that leadership and impact outside of work. Of course, if they can do it at work, that's great. But this can be, again, leadership things in community, getting involved in your community, and not just involved, but trying to find ways, opportunities to organize events or to lead people. Or, you know, if you're really ambitious, maybe you start an organization, you start some community activity. It doesn't have to be community. It could be extracurricular, again, as long as it's showing this ability to lead people. Because younger applicants don't have the work experience that's a key part of one of the key components of a strong application, their essays are going to be scrutinized very closely, and so are their recommendation letters, and their interview is going to be really important. So I'm not saying you need to start writing your essays after you graduate, but you need to probably start thinking about what the MBA is going to give you, why you need it, and why you need it now, and begin the process of being able to articulate that. And in terms of recommenders, you know, if you're applying right out of school or close to graduation, one of your recommenders at least will probably be a professor. So you want to be, you know, kind of cultivating a relationship and making sure you have some strong recommenders.
Buona Ali says if you're a young applicant, you may want to look into whether you'll be with others your age.
Find the schools that value young MBAs, because culture in a school is really important. Although I found it difficult a little bit in the first couple of months, or, you know, even up to now, it's actually, when you have at least 10 young MBAs, it makes a really big difference. I really couldn't imagine being at a school where, you know, I was the youngest, only youngest person. I'm not the youngest here. But it would be terrible if I was the youngest and I was the only one. So I think picking the school is really important. You know, visiting it and seeing what young MBAs are like, you know, how they cope is really important. And I certainly did that before I went to Stanford.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
For more information, advice, and to register for your weekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Janet Nakano, and this is MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening, and next time, we'll give you the lowdown on how to have a successful first year in business school.